Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Champion. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. Jesus is champion. He's won all the battles. Hallelujah. He stands sure. Glory, glory, hallelujah. You know, some people say that the lion is the king of the jungle, but there is one coming on a white horse, and his name on his thigh is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you. We give you all the honor. We know that there's about 4,200 religions out there, beliefs out there, but there is only one empty tomb. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, we study different topics from the Bible and different subjects, subtopics of the Bible, you know, but we've come to that point in time and that we're at the crossroads of our life. When Jesus was with his disciples, he said that the end times will be like a woman in travail. We see that the woman has been in travail. And if you know anything about delivery, when the woman breaks, is an imminent sign that she's going to be delivered. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we have an imminent belief that Jesus Christ is going to come for his church, for the rapture of the church, for the gathering of the church of the saints to go to heaven, to be with him forever and ever. And he's going to take us to his Father's house because he is champion. Glory. He rose. He resurrected on the third day. Hallelujah. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And Paul said it very succinctly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He spoke about the gospel. And he spoke about what he has given unto us. So, and I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read you what he wrote. It's the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from beginning of verse 1. For a few verses, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I deliver unto you the gospel." So Paul is not giving us something else but the gospel, "which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also receive, how the Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due season." Hallelujah. That is the gospel that Paul spoke of and gave unto us, how, according to the scriptures, brothers and sisters, how Christ died, how Christ was buried, how Christ resurrected on the third day, according to the scriptures. And all we have to do is read it in the first covenant, the Old Testament. We see there the words that are spoken by the prophets, by Moses, and by the Psalms, how the Messiah was not going to see corruption, how his body was not going to decay. He was going to resurrect on the third day. Hallelujah. So what's next, brothers and sisters? We just finished a subject called "Is Christianity Real? Power of God and Different Elements" that we had. We're going to start a new subject today, and we're just going to gloss over some of the subtopics that we're going to be covering over the several weeks. We're going to be talking about prophecy, and we're not going to be talking about prophecy that has occurred already. We're going to be talking about prophecy that has been given unto us through the prophets by the word of Christ in the Old Testament, the New Testament, of things that are going to happen. They have not occurred as yet, but they're going to happen. And whether we're here to witness what's about to happen or whether we are taken beforehand, that's in the hands of God. I put a list together as I was believing, as I prayed and following the directions of the Holy Spirit. It's not, don't take it verbatim in this order. God could change his mind at any time, and he could do certain things a certain way at a different time than what I have down. I don't want to be like the former disciples. They asked Jesus specifically, are you at this time going to bring the kingdom of God? And he said, it's not up for you. It's not up to you to know the seasons and the times. And then he spoke about the power that they were going to receive after the Holy Ghost has come upon them. So these subtopics that we're going to cover might not be in the correct order. I'm just bringing it to your knowledge, so your understanding, so you could study them and look them up before these things occur, so you could have an idea of it. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the first one we're going to be covering is Gog and the Magog War. Now, we know, as I study the scriptures, that there's going to be a space of time between the rapture of the church and the war of Gog and Magog. Now, this war could occur before the rapture or right after the rapture. We don't know. I don't know. And I'm not going to presume to know it. Let me read to you a little paragraph of it before we, of the invasion of Gog and Magog. And then we'll go deeper later on when we get to cover that subtopic. But it says here, the invasion of Gog and Magog, and I'm reading from the Encyclopedia Bible Prophecy, page 99, the invasion of Gog and Magog. Ezekiel chapter 38, 39, predict a terrible and overwhelming invasion against regathering Israel in the latter years, Ezekiel 38 and 8. And this amazing prophecy, Ezekiel foresees an alliance of enemy nations led by Magog, and including Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, and others. This horde of invaders will sweep over the land like a storm cloud, Ezekiel 38:9. But God will move against this enemy force with a great earthquake, pestilence, and an overflowing rain of fire and brimstone. By the time this battle has ended, the invaders will be destroyed and Israel will be spared. Nothing in this prophecy corresponds with the details of Israel's invasion by either the Babylonians, 586 BC, or the Romans in AD 70. Therefore, any little fulfillment of this prophecy must yet be in the future. God says that as a result of his dramatic intervention, Israel will know that I am the Lord their God. Ezekiel 39:22. The captivity of Jacob will finally end, and the whole house of Israel will reflect God's name and glory. Ezekiel 39:25. That's a little touch of what we're going to be talking about regarding Gog and Magog. The next prophecy that we're going to be talking about is the rapture of the church. Now, a lot of people might say, I don't believe in the rapture. That word is not found in the Bible. And I would agree, that word in the English translation is not found in the Bible. But when you look back in the Latin Vulgate that Jerome wrote, it's in there, is a rapimo, means rapture. Glory be to God. And if you look at the Geneva Bibles, 1539, you see in 2 Thessalonians when it talks about the restrainer, just before the Antichrist is revealed, there's going to be a departure. In the modern translation, like the King James Version, it says falling away. In the Catholic Bible, it talks about a rebellion. But when you look back at the writings of Tyndale and Wycliffe, and you look at the original writings, it talks about a departure. And so there's going to be a departure before the Antichrist is revealed. You know, one thing I learned from looking after and reading and studying war, and that is that the nations that go to war, they always call the ambassadors home first. Like right now we have Russia and we have the other nation that are at war. They both call their ambassadors home. There is a war, a civil war down in Africa. They call the ambassadors home. And sure enough, we are ambassadors of Christ. If we look in Corinthians, God made us ambassadors and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So there's going to be a departure before the tribulation begins. Are we going to go through some of the tribulation? We're going through it right now. There is some tribulation going on right now, but it's nothing like the Great Tribulation. So we believe in the pre-trib rapture or the gathering of the saints. According to Hebrew, talk about the gathering. Glory be to the Lord. And so there is a rapture of the church. Later on, there is a glorious appearing. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're also going to talk about the chaos in the world. When the church is departed from this earth, you know, there's going to be chaos in the world. There's going to be destruction of systems in the world. And all over the world, people will be disorganized because of the departure. Even right now, you see how the enemy is working, how they're saying that the aliens have come to our airways. And when the departure takes place, you know, they're going to bring a big deception. They're going to say these people were taken by the aliens. And that's going to be a great deception. According to their belief, we're going to be removed from this earth because we don't go along with the system. So the Antichrist or the false prophet, people will believe that we were taken up by the aliens. Aliens came and took us away. That's what the great deception is all about. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. So there's going to be chaos all over the world because, you know, if you have airplanes that are being flown by Christian brothers and they disappear because they have departed with Christ, we could read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 down. But in verse 16 and 17, it talks about where Christ descends, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we that remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. We shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, Paul says in Corinthians. This mortal must put on immortality. And we're going to be forever with the Lord. Glory be to the Lord. So that word caught up in the Greek is the word harpazo. And it talks about moving from one place to another, a departure. Like you take a plane, let's say in West Palm Beach, and you fly to New York, LaGuardia Airport. So you departed from West Palm Beach. And so is this when the rapture takes place. We're going to depart this world. Jesus told us, he said, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. And that's why he admonished us to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you have bus drivers who are Christians and they disappear, you could imagine the crash that occurs all over the world. Things are going to occur out of the control of people. There's going to be chaos. Many people will disappear because of the departure or the rapture of the church. And in this chaos, it gives an opportunity for the Antichrist to present himself to the world, to bring peace to the world. And according to Isaiah and Ezekiel, the Antichrist will conquer, not with war. Remember what you read in Revelation chapter 6? The first rider in the white horse had a bow but no arrows. So it's going to be he was given authority to conquer and to make war. And so that's what's going to happen. He's going to come and make peace in the world through seductive words. And people are going to go along with them, with him, because he brings peace to a chaotic world. And when he does that, you know, problems is going to come to this earth, as we know, just like Egypt, the different plagues. He's going to make a pact with Israel for 7 years. He's going to make a covenant with Israel for 7 years. He's going to affirm it. He's going to sign it. And in that affirmation, the reason the Jewish people are going to accept him as their Messiah is because they're going to build the third temple, and they're going to be able to offer up sacrifices and offerings as before in the building of the temple. But what happened, 3.5 years passed by, and they have a pseudo peace. Remember in Thessalonians, it tells us when they say peace, peace, sudden destruction. So 3.5 years of a pseudo peace, tribulation begins, the great tribulation, because what happens is the Antichrist will break that covenant with the Jewish people 3.5 years into the covenant, into the agreement. He's going to stop the sacrifices, and he's going to want to change times, and he's going to want to make the temple his. In the interim, you have two witnesses testifying. You have 144,000 Jewish evangelists, 12,000 of each of the tribes of Israel. You know, the two witnesses are going to be killed. And after 3 days, 3.5 days, they're going to be raptured up to heaven. They're going to get up off the street. And people are going to see it, because it's going to be a worldwide event. And there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists who's going to go throughout the whole world and speak of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many, many people who don't believe will believe. So we see that Satan breaks the covenant with Israel. great tribulation begins for the 3.5 years that are left in the covenant that he made with them. And the Jewish people will realize that they were taken as a fool. Armageddon begins. There's a war that goes on. We know that Gog and Magog war, the second part, will go on. Five nations will come around Israel. They're going to want to conquer them. They see Israel as being weak at the time. And we see how Satan wants to change times and stop the sacrifices at the temple. Why? Because he's going to sit at the throne of God in the Holy of Holies as if he's the Messiah. And the Jewish people is not going to accept him as the Messiah. They're not going to accept him as God. He's going to bring the abomination of desolation, which is like the former Greek leader brought a pig into the altar, sacrificed it in the altar, made some Jewish people eat some pig, and that will bring a desecration in the temple. He's going to set up his image in the temple. And the word of God says that he forces everyone to bow down to this image and to take the mark of the beast on the right hand on the forehead. My goodness. We're not going to be here. We're going to be departed. Those that are going to be left behind are the children of disobedience. They're going to be going through this tribulation time. The Jews reject the Antichrist as their Messiah. The Jewish people hide in the mountains. When Jesus said it, when you see these things come to pass, look up for your redemption draw nigh. And he's talking to the Jewish people, and he tells them, when you see these things happen, and run to the mountains. Don't go back home and get your clothing or whatever. Just run. And a lot of the Jewish people are going to run to the mountains, to Petra, because the Bible says the Antichrist will not invade Petra. He will not come against that mountain there. So the Jewish people will be hiding in the mountains there. And they're going to be crying out. They're going to realize that they had accepted a false Messiah again. And glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. 7 years passed by. In those 7 years that the tribulation was occurring on earth, what was happening in heaven? Well, we have the Bema Seat judgment. We have the Seder meal. We have the wedding of the Lamb. Hallelujah. 7 years. Then it says that Christ will return on the white horse with the army of heaven. The army of heaven, that's us Christians. We're coming back with Jesus and his angels. And with the breath of his mouth, he's going to defeat the enemy. Glory be to the Lord. Jesus' second coming is to rescue Israel. The word of God says all eyes will see him. They're going to see him coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And they're going to ask him one question, according to Zechariah 12, 13 and 14. They're going to ask him, where did you get these marks at? And he's going to answer them, I got them in my friend's house. And they're going to realize this is the true Jesus. This is the true Yeshua HaMashiach. You know, and they're going to cry like a lost child because they realize they crucify the Messiah afresh. But he loved them so much. He came to Mount Olivet. And Mount Olivet, there was a great earthquake. Mount Olivet split in two. And the waters that came out went to the Dead Sea and healed it. And he causes a great angel to come from heaven and imprison Satan in the abyss for 1,000 years, and for 1,000 years or millennium, Christ will set up his kingdom here on earth. The enemy is defeated. He is tied up in chains and thrown into the abyss. The millennium reign of Christ begins. And it tells us in the scriptures that every feast, the feast of the Lord, the tabernacle, people, nations will come to Jerusalem to worship Christ because he's going to sit on the throne of his father David. And people are going to realize this is the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then what happens after a millennium? Satan will be loose for a short time. There'll be another war, another civil unrest. It's called Gog Magog War again. And a lot of people that came through the tribulation who had children rebelled against Christ. They didn't want Christ to be, you know, their God. They didn't want Christ to be their Messiah. So Satan thinks that he's got it made because he's got all these people following him again. But what happens is that angel comes and they throw Satan into the lake of fire with the false prophet and the Antichrist and all those who have taken the mark of the beast and all those whose names were not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. And Christ will turn everything over back to his Father. There'll be a great white throne judgment. People who are not Christians, not born again Christian, will present themselves before the great white throne. And they'll be judged for every word they said and for every action they have taken. And since their names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, they'll be cast into the lake of fire as well. Then Christ will turn over everything to the Father. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and a new Jerusalem will descend from heaven to the earth. And we'll be in eternity with the Lord forever in peace. Now these are some of the events that will take place. We don't know if it's in that order, but what we need to do is pray about it and ask God the Holy Spirit to help us to be pure, because God is looking for a pure heart and clean hands. God is looking for you to be holy just like he's holy, because without holiness, no man will see the Lord. So why try to be good? You're never going to be good enough. Your goodness got to supersede Christ's death on the cross. And none of us are good enough. Even if we do die on the cross, our blood is not like his blood. It's not pure. Even Peter, who was so close to the Messiah, stated that he didn't want to die. He was not worthy to die as his Lord. So he was crucified upside down by the Romans. And after the Roman Empire killed many Jewish people, many Christian people, now they hold Peter as the first pope. You got to think about these prophecies, these things that are going to come upon the earth. And the reason that we are bringing this up now is because we know that it's getting close to that time. It's getting close to the time where Christ will call up his church, will gather his church together, and we're going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever. But some of you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some of you say, well, I'll wait for the last day. Then I'll make the decision. But you see, the Bible says tomorrow is not promised to no one. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So why take a chance in tomorrow, where we don't know if tomorrow is going to come. Spirit said, and today that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Like in the days of when your forefathers tempted me in the wilderness, and they complained. What we need to do is search our hearts and say and recognize that we have sinned before God. We have broken God's commandments. And I'm not talking about the 613 that the Jewish people follow. I'm talking about the Ten Commandments that the Lord gave us on Mount Sinai through Moses. The first one is, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, mind, and soul. You shall have no other gods before me. The third one is, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. The fourth one is, thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. The fifth one is, thou shalt honor your mother and your father. The sixth one is, thou shalt not murder. The seventh one, thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not commit adultery. The eighth, thou shalt not steal. The ninth, thou shalt not lie. And the tenth, thou shalt not covet. When we examine the Ten Commandments and we look in the mirror and God's word, each of us have to recognize that we have broken God's commandment. We have not always obeyed our parents. We have not always regarded the Lord our God as the one and only. We've chasing other after gods. And you must say, Brother Carlos, how do we do that? Well, maybe you didn't create an image of your God, but in your mind, you would say, my God would never send me to hell. You just created a God to suit your sinful nature. So that would be idolatry. Oh, I have never murdered nobody. But the Bible says if you gossip against somebody, you are the same as a murderer. I haven't committed adultery. I love my wife. I love my husband. But Jesus said if you think in your mind of the person, you have committed adultery already with them. Maybe your friend got a brand new car and you're looking, oh my God, I should have a car like that. That's covetousness. When you testify falsely against your neighbor, that is lying. So many times, so many things, we look at the scriptures and recognize, I have broken God's commandment. You know, God doesn't send no one to hell. We choose to go there by not accepting his ways. So what God does is accommodate our wishes, our desires. And by us not accepting his ways, we judge ourselves as being disobedient. And sin and flesh will not enter into heaven. We need to be sincere with God and to honor him and to glorify him. If you have a question, comment, or testimony, you can call Blog Talk Radio, The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign. Look for the number one. Press that, and you'll be connected to the studio. Glory to the Lord. If you have any questions regarding the subtopics, we have a list there of 18 different subtopics that we're going to see occurring, or we're going to see it happening, or be partaker in it. But we're going to get deeper into each and one of them because, you know, that way you can have an excuse we have no excuse. When we go before the Bema Seat, or some of you go before the great white throne, you're not going to have no excuse as to why you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. I say it again. There's about 4,200 religions and beliefs out there, but there's only one empty tomb. That empty tomb belonged, or used to be, where Christ was buried. But he resurrected according to the scriptures on the third day. And he lives, he lives, he lives. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I'll give you a little itinerary of the church before we go on. And that is that on Sundays at 6 p.m., we have the Bible mystery. This week, we're going to have the second part of the parable of the sower. And then on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock in the morning, we have intercessory prayer. And Thursdays at 6 o'clock, we have Bible study. We just begin a new series of prophecy, Bible study of prophecy. And we have about 18 subtopics. Could be, we could add some, we could take some depending on how the Holy Spirit would direct us. Little disclaimer, and that is that the songs that we play here on Blog Talk Radio, they do not belong to Pastor Carlos Ramos. They do not belong to the church, the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists. And because we bought the CD or DVD, in it, we have permission to use their products. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got 17 minutes to go. And if you want to call or talk about anything, we have openings, question and answer if you have any questions. In the meantime, think about the subtopic. Think about what we're going to be talking about next Thursday. We're going to get a little bit deeper into Gog, Magog war. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. These are the prophecies that are yet to occur, and we have to be ready. We have to be ready because the Bible says Jesus is coming the second time without sin. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The first time he came, he took a sin upon himself because of us, because of our disobedience. And he washed us with his precious blood. But this time he's coming back in fire to bring judgment. The Bible says, glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So what we're going to do, we're going to leave it there for tonight. And say unto all to pray, to seek the Lord, to study your scriptures. You remember Paul spoke to Timothy. He says, study the scriptures. Study yourself unto God, a workman. Need it not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That way we could take these subtopics one at a time, talk about them, and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to enlighten us, to give us inspiration, to give us the Rhema word. We just don't want the Logos word. We just don't want the written word. We want everything. We want the Rhema word. We want the Spirit, everything. We want to understand. Paul said it in his writing. He says, God gave us an understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom by the Spirit. And sure enough, so we ask God to give us revelation of these things. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to be back on Sunday evening at 6, where we have our Bible mystery, the second part of the parable of the sower. Come with your questions, and you could invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.